morning to you again, Brother Jonah. And we are going to continue in the book of James again this morning, James chapter 1. Yesterday we looked at the middle part of the chapter and talked again about enduring temptation, how that God not the source of our temptation, but that our temptation comes when lust has been seized and we're drawn away in its time. Well, this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about that, about our sin and about the fear of the Word. Let's start with verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, keeping your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in speaking. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, himself unspotted from the world. Well, we see that James concludes this chapter and he begins to talk about some real practical things. He first commands us and exhorts us to lay aside filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and that we should receive the engrafted word. Now this all filthiness of the flesh, or this filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, is signifying any impurity that would cleave to the body. It implies all pure and unholy affection that we see in James 1 and 15 discussed last night. It pollutes the soul. It is contrary to the working of Christ and to the holiness of the Father. And he tells us to lay those things aside, to lay them apart, have no fellowship with those things, as if a dirty garment, a filthy rag, and something that is vile and hateful and contemptible. We should, with every reasonable possibility, put an end to these things, that they may not overcome us and take us. And he says, on the contrary, as we lay those things aside, that we should receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, this engrafted word simply means to be implanted, something that is imparted or given to us, the word of God. Know from the book of John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that Christ is the Word. So we're to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. So we have on one hand that we are to put away all the carnality, all the wickedness, all the overabundance, or this the surplus of wickedness, surplus of naughtiness. Put those things away. Lay those things aside. That we would remember that we are dead to sin, but alive unto God. That we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. That we've laid aside the things of this world, carnal things of mind. Just lay those things aside and receive. To receive something is to take something, is to have a gift. Is to receive with meekness this implanted or this engrafted word, to receive the Lord Jesus within our hearts and within our minds and within our souls. And the reason we receive this is because it is able to save our souls. You see, it's amazing on how many things we do in this life. You know, a lot of people, they seek for different pleasures. They're miserable. Their life is in turmoil. They're just constantly battling with people and work and all different types of things. And they seek maybe a cigarette to calm their nerves. Or maybe it's a little worse. Maybe they're seeking drugs and alcohol. Or immoral relationships. And those things just continue year after year after year after year. And as sin continues to be conceived in that individual's life, it weighs them down. And there's some people that you can look at, and it looks like they've just been whipped with a sin stick. You know, it just seems that they have been, that sin has just beat just the living daylight out of them. Their whole countenance is just dark and empty and shallow, and yet they still look for something to grab a hold of. And then we find ourselves, you know, within the church, and even then we still see people that are empty, that they're longing for something, they're longing for help. They're longing for power. They're longing for freedom and victory. And yet, what do? They cling to a popular evangelical preacher. Or maybe they cling to a book. Maybe they have a whole bookshelf of how to help. You know, there's just no end. Solomon said that, and I think it's even worse today. There's no end to writing books. And the how-to books, we've got all the intelligence, we have all the knowledge, but we have zero experience in these things. And we don't need more knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, according to the scriptures. But what we need is experience in these things. But yet we continue to give ourselves daily and weekly and monthly, trying to fulfill or grasp a hold of victory by all these different things in life. And yet we have these few words from Brother James. And he says, to receive with meekness this engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You know, he makes it sound so simple, doesn't he? And the reason he makes it sound that way is because it is that way. It's mankind that's made it difficult. If we could receive the engrafted word with meekness, it would do just that. It would relieve us of our stress, of our pain, of our past and present and future difficulty, of our depression, of our lack of victory. It would bring forth glorious freedom in our lives. The Emancipator would have set us free indeed. For whom the Son is set free is free. But yet it seems that's just so simple, you know, and so easy. We just don't want to go dip in the river seven times because That's just too childish. That's just too simple. We want to have some great and grand and glorious entourage to make our life seem fulfilled in some special way, when all Christ is wanting us to do is to receive this word, receive the word of God, allow the word of God to be engrafted inside of our heart, because it is that and only that that will save our soul. Beloved, this world is going to pass away. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. And the only thing that will stand is God's word. He said, my word shall abide forever and ever and ever. But then he goes on to say, as we receive this word, it's just not good enough to receive the word, but we need to be doers of the word. Verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, if we think that we can just hear the word without being a doer, then we're deceiving ourselves. If we think that we can just receive the word and then go on in our carnality without any change, then you're deceived this morning. You're deceived. Receiving the word of God in our lives, its sole and primary purpose is to bring forth change in the individual. And that change will cause us to be a doer and not only a hearer. Because he says, he goes on to say in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You know, there's something about a man that wishes to see his own face. And how we look, how it appears. And for this purpose, I don't know who created the mirror, but some man individual created a mirror. And with this mirror, we're able to look into that and get a reflection of our real face, who we are, what we look at, what we look like. And in the process of that, it reveals our blemishes. It reveals our imperfections. They're all obvious. And then, as we look at those things, we're affected. I'm affected by my appearance. You know, if I go to the get out of bed, first thing we do is we go to a mirror and we look at ourselves to make ourselves presentable. And if something is there that's not presentable, then we take care of that. But a mirror, it reveals our deformities that they might be remedied. Spots, impurities, those things that can be removed. And while we'll continue to look in this mirror, our mind and our heart is affected, and we wish to become something different than what we appear. And we form a purpose in doing what we can to fix these things. This is the metaphor. This is what James is saying. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, if I'm in the middle of, I get up in the morning, and say I go to the restroom, and I wash my face, but before I get through washing my face, maybe getting the sleep out of my eyes or combing my hair, you know, I look at my countenance and I say, well, I got to fix a few things here to be presentable. But if I get called in the middle of that for some reason, I get distracted and I go my way before I fix my face, then it's very, very probable that I will forget about those deformities or those imperfections or those spots or impurities or blemishes. And I'll go along my way and forget what manner of man that I was. This is the individual that hears the word. This is the individual that is not a doer of the word. And there's great error there. You know, the word of God, when it's faithfully preached, when the word of God comes to our heart through the preaching of the word, the reading of the word, through brothers having a good, profitable discourse with the word, when these things are brought forth, it is a mirror. And as we hear this word, we cannot but help to discover our own character. And we see our own deformities in those characters, in our spots, in our blemishes. And we sorrow. And there's purpose to fix those things. And there's purpose to change those things in our mind. And there's purpose to change those things within our heart. But when the preaching is over, when the Bible is closed, when the brother is no longer there, that mirror is removed, and we forget the need of salvation. We lose the perfect law of liberty. And if we don't continue to look therein, we forget what manner of man we were. And then we have some unscriptural trust in God's mercy, thinking that everything will be okay. And we reason ourselves out of the necessity of repentance and thus deceive our own. But whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you see the difference? You have, on one hand, one hearing the word, you have two men, and they're both hearing the word. Maybe they're hearing preaching. Maybe they're studying their Bible, but the word of God is coming into their life, and they're realizing the depravity, they're realizing the need of salvation, the need of repentance. They see the spots, they see the blemishes, they see all the deformities and the imperfections in their life. And yet one turns and walks away, and he never has any change. He's a hearer of the word, but he's not a doer of the word. And you have one that hears the word and takes the truths and takes those things and he applies them to his life. He's not only a hearer of the word, but he's a doer also. He's blessed. He shall be blessed in his deed. So, beloved, this morning, I pray that we could lay aside all the filthiness and naughtiness and receive this engrafted word, because this engrafted word